All right, we are back with you now on this Wednesday morning, and once again, we have our guests in studio from My Chef Lara. We have Chef Lara and Chef Deb as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. We're missing our Norbert here today, huh? He's got other things going on, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we're busy with the holiday season, so yeah. We've put him on other duties today.
Yeah. You have to keep him in tow. You have to
keep him in line
this morning, that's for sure. Since the last time we spoke, how Thanksgiving went well?
Absolutely.
It was great. Yeah, Thanksgiving was fabulous. Time. And we actually decided to spend it with our families.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was wonderful.
That was good. That's rarity. That's a rare thing. And now we've got already just less than a week away. Ooh. We've got another busy headache holiday as well, as a lot of people say. But Christmas is not just a busy time, but you guys are going to be busy within this next week as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're working every day up till next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. There's lots of parties and getting food prepared, and people are, you know, kind of getting prepared for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And so we're stocking people's fridges and freezers with food. And we have two parties this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we get to enjoy a lot.
We're to a lot of parties.
That's always good. As people start getting into the holidays, you know, and as you said, even at the end of the year, is New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, a very big for My Chef Lara as well?
Traditionally, yes. Although this year, for sanity purposes, we've decided that we're not working between Christmas and New Year's.
Nice.
So we are going to take 1 week to catch our breath, and then January starts.
Yep.
All over again.
Yeah.
We're launching a new arm of our business, a delivery arm of our business.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting prepped and ready to get that on the road.
Yeah. You also, as you said, you're going to do that. You're going to refiguration on the website as well, you said?
We're redesigning the website. Mm-hmm. That's going to get launched probably at the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of new things going on for the new year, and we'll need a lot of sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And I noticed, I was saying you off the microphones, there's a newer picture of me on your website as well.
We'll keep that one forever.
Yeah,
that's
the one that I had at Capron Park this past Christmas, a couple of weeks ago, when they painted a tattoo of a candy cane mustache on me. So I saw that the other day, and I was like, oh, good. And I'm glad at least someone's kept it. And I know I kept it.
So we love it.
Which is good.
We love it.
But it's always good there to see that. So I'll be there in cyber heaven all the time.
You're looking very dapper with your candy canes.
Yes, dapper with my candy cane mustache. All right, speaking of dapper, we have another dapper gentleman with us once again, meteorologist Jim Corbin, joining us now with our next check on the forecast. Jim.
I wouldn't say dapper, but this hour of the morning. But anyway, Tom, we've got dapper weather, though. I tell you, the sun is now coming out mixed with clouds. We're going to have temperatures just climbing. I'm thinking now maybe about 48, but compared to yesterday, much less wind. So it'll actually probably be more comfortable than it was yesterday. Tonight, mostly cloudy, falling to the upper 30s. And then it looks like our next batch of rain, and rain still, not snow, is tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. High temperatures will be in the low 50s, a southeast wind. It looks like that rain will end late tomorrow night, sort of a breezy and comfortably cool day on Friday. Sun and clouds, just a passing quick shower in a few spots. Again, no snow, highs in the low 50s, and then it looks like the coldest day so far this season on Saturday, although as I'm saying all morning, that's not saying much because we have had such warm weather. I think it's going to be in the upper 30s and windy on Saturday, wind chills in the 20s, but dry. And then mostly sunny near 40 on Sunday. The next chance of rain after tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening looks to be Monday night of next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. All right. We'll talk to you back at 9:40 once again.
Okay.
All right. Chef Lara and Chef Deb are here today talking about, we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays, Christmas, and I know that they've been very busy with their company. Nowadays, you know, we've talked about this in the last few months that we've been here. You make all these items, especially you had the soup night, not too long ago. And these items can stay very well in the refrigerator for not a long time. I mean, soup, certainly the soup can taste how long.
Yeah, we usually say for fridge items, probably 4 days.
Yeah.
For freezer items, 3 months. And really, even then, it doesn't go bad. Mm-hmm. It just, the quality starts to degrade, but you can still eat it, you know.
Yeah.
So they in the freezer, things can last a very, very long
time.
It's
kind of the same way if you have, you know, gravy sauce, you know, like tomato sauce.
Yep.
You know, I know if you put that in the refrigerator, you know, it's not, you know, it's still okay, but it's not really as good to eat it 3 or 4 days later. You know, it kind of changes, or the smell, but you know, I know my dad usually, when he makes his sauce during the week, usually if he gives me the rest of it at some point, you know, he always says, you know, don't leave it for another week, you know, so we'll have it, you know, probably by the weekend.
Yeah, 3 to 4 days is a good rule of thumb, is totally fine. And then at that point, you want to start thinking about, you know, depending on what it is. Obviously,
make new,
right? Fish will be less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And vegetarian meals will be more. So it's really just about bacteria growth and stuff like that. So.
For the Christmas season now, one of my favorite things, any time of the season, is hot chocolate. Are there hot chocolate mixes and recipes out there?
Well, there are lots of hot chocolate mixes you can buy.
Yeah.
But yes, there's many, many hot chocolate mixes that you can make. Deb, I know, she does a lot of Mexican, so there's spicy hot chocolate.
Yeah, you can do cinnamon, you could do a little bit of
everything. Yeah, cinnamon, you could put a little chili in it, actually.
Okay.
So it has a little bite to your, you know, that keeps you even warmer than regular hot chocolate. So if you put cinnamon in chili, that's very Mexican, you know, it's very Mexican flavors, but you could add a lot of different flavors, and it actually makes a nice gift. Because you can make up a mason jar with you can make your own mix, cocoa, sugar, and any kind of seasonings you want to put in there, and give it as a gift.
They have really clever marshmallows now. Have you seen those?
I haven't.
Oh, I've seen these. They're star marshmallows. They're snowflake marshmallows. Mm-hmm. There's even a one with a little kitty. It looks like he's coming out of your glass. they're very cute. So all these cute little marshmallow things. So hot chocolates are really, it's a great gift idea.
Yeah, and everybody loves hot chocolate in the winter.
I think as far as the regular hot chocolate, I'm thinking, you would probably do the same thing with, you know, it's more sweeter. The white hot chocolate is a lot more sweeter, though. I wonder if you can add a little bit of more spice to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure
nutmeg.
Like liquor.
Yeah.
Well, there's always that. Yes. There's always that. You buy one of those little sample bottoms, put that in the jar.
Well, I guess anything with the chocolate, as I always say, you know, a little Irish cream isn't bad.
It's never bad.
Absolutely.
You know,
never
stuff
bad.
Like that. As I mentioned to you also, last night we had, you know, this new drink last night at a local diner in North Attleboro, where they had was an eggnog drink. You know, they had the rum, they had the bourbon, and they had all the other types of as well. But you know, even if you could try to make that. We were looking, you know, trying to look at that online, and you know, you just get the vanilla ice cream, or you could do this, and you get the caramel or the chocolate, and make it at home. You know,
absolutely.
It'll be a lot cheaper, and you can have as high as you want with the whipped cream and the ice cream.
That's right.
And the liquor.
And much liquor as you want. Right. Exactly.
And you don't have to drive anywhere, so you don't have to worry about
it. Exactly. You stay at home, and you have your little, they still call them hot toddies, but hot toddies is more is the type of the cider mixes, right?
I would say a hot toddy is, excuse me, it's more like if you have hot water and then you put lemon juice. You maybe put brandy in it or ginger. Ginger's really good in a hot toddy.
Hmm.
So it's more of a clear drink rather than with anything with milk. Hot toddies.
Oh, it's funny. I always think of hot toddies as when I'm sick.
Exactly.
I never drink it when I'm not sick.
No.
Which is kind of silly. But,
yeah.
Because they're
why
good.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? So not only can you make a drink that includes the Irish cream, but you can actually make your own Irish cream.
Hmm.
And I brought, since Norbert's not here, and he's usually the one that plies you with liquor first thing in the morning, I thought I would be the one.
Okay.
And I brought you, as a Christmas present for you and Carol, I brought you my own, a bottle of my own blend of Irish cream, but I want you to taste it right now in the studio.
Right. On air.
And Laura, would you like to taste some?
Just a teeny bit.
It smells good.
I had to put a spoon in it this morning to taste it. Before I even had my coffee.
Mm.
Because I couldn't figure out which. I have two kinds.
Oh, that's delicious.
Mm. Yes, it is very delicious. It really tastes good.
And you know, it's remarkably easy to make. If you make a simple syrup and you mix condensed milk, evaporated milk, and heavy cream, and almond extract, vanilla extract, and you can use chocolate syrup, and then put in your whiskey.
Huh. Some Irish whiskey. It's very good.
It's very easy. If anybody wants a recipe, they can email me for it at deb@mychefflaura.com. You can email me.
If I had more coffee in my mug, I'd pour some of that right
in there. Just add a little bit more to that. Forget the coffee, just add that. You know, just
well, and it's and actually, stuff like this is great because there's a lot of things you can make at home. Yes. As great gifts for Christmas, right? Lo, you talked about the hot chocolate mixes, this Irish cream, and you can even make, people don't think about it very much, but spice mixes are a great gift, right? Some spice blends, you can find a lot of recipes online for spice blends, Moroccan spice blends, and Spanish spice blends, any kind of interesting things, because people don't think of doing that themselves, right? So it's a great gift because you give it to them, and then they'll try it, and they'll use it. And it's stuff like that is a great idea. Just get ball jars, you know, just ball jars or little jars, and dress them up with ribbons, just like Deb. You can't see it, but Deb put ribbons on her bottles, and
those are
and
cute. Those bottles are really cute, though. Yeah.
I
mean, they,
I got them down in Wickford.
Did you? Oh, of course.
Yeah, there's a little kitchenware store there.
Yeah, my wife likes to go. She was down there a couple of weeks ago, too. She loves Wickford down there.
It's a great place to Christmas shop.
It really is.
There are a lot of different little shops down there. Yeah.
The you know, and going back to this this Irish cream, now this is the Chef Deb Irish cream. that would be awesome if she had her own little staff and, you know, made, you know,
put making it all the time.
Yeah, he made it all the time at various liquor stores out there. You could just see Lara, you can see
cream elves. Yeah, I would I'd be there.
Round,
I'd be there.
If you finish up that what's in your bottle, I'll give you a taste of this other. It's a chai spice liqueur. It's a little different. It's actually what I do is when I'm making the simple syrup, I infuse it with different spices. So I put cinnamon stick and I put nutmeg in it and allspice and I put more ginger in that and a little peppercorns. And then I let it steep for a little while, and I use that as a base. So if you want to try that in a little while, you can. Okay. I'll put it right here.
Yeah, you're talking about, like that sounds like a mix that we used to do for eggnog all the time. You put, you know, the nutmeg and all the, you know, and I made it, I had said a couple of years ago we were putting some eggnog out, and I was thinking, like, I remember how my uncle used to do it. And I used to put, you know, the nutmeg in, you know, in the big bowl. And then how I said it, and I said, the nutmeg, you know, the stuff. And I called it paprika. I said, you know, the red stuff that you need. And I said, no, it's not paprika. That's the other stuff that you could put on celery sticks. You're like, all right, it's the nutmeg. That's what it is.
A little different.
You're like, yeah, it did, boy. And I said, like, do we have any paprika? Like, why do you want it? My wife said, do you have any, why do you want paprika for the eggnog? Like, well, that's the rest. No, it's not that. Like, you know, I don't think people want that. Like, okay, all right, like let me do it your way. I said, like, and I went, this was good, you know, like, and that's the way my uncle makes it, you know. But no, it was nutmeg, of course. Yeah, paprika. I don't know why I said that. But,
oh, maybe the Hungarian version of
paprika. Yeah, yeah,
it's paprika.
Yeah. Who knows? And as far as other easy recipes, there are a lot of easy recipes to make. You've got you talk about slow cooking, especially for the holidays.
Slow cooking, making ahead in the freezer, they're all really good ideas. It's crazy this time of year. And with the relatives coming over and, you know, there's, of course, your Christmas dinner. Yeah. But then what do you do the next day? And the last thing you want to do is get up and make a huge dinner for people. So, you know, overnight slow cooker recipes are a very good idea for breakfast. We've, as a matter of fact, for our WARA listeners, we posted a recipe on our website at mychefflaura.com. Just follow the link off of the homepage and you'll see there's a really nice, it's like a hash brown casserole, but it's all overnight. And so you just throw it all in the night before and you wake up in the morning to breakfast. So you don't have to worry about cooking. So there's a lot of slow cooker ideas, a lot of there's cinnamon buns that you can make ahead, put in the freezer, and all you have to do is take them out to thaw and pop them in the oven when you wake up in the morning. So don't stress. There's a lot of ideas out there for getting your hungry crowds fed without having to worry about cooking. Yeah. You know, on Christmas morning, if you wake up and you do presents on Christmas morning, the last thing you want to do is stand around the stove, right? Mm-hmm. You want to enjoy Christmas
and miss all the fun.
All the fun, exactly. Yeah. So slow cookers are a great idea. Freezing ahead. Google's your friend. You know, go use it. And don't be afraid of the slow cooker. I know a lot of people have said to me, I'm afraid to leave it plugged in overnight, you know, or when I leave my house. They're designed to do that. I've been using slow cookers for years and years and years and years and never have had a problem. So use those tools and just to de-stress yourself around these times, because people get very tired and stressed and you don't want anxiety into your Christmas morning. You just want joy.
Yeah. And you mentioned when you were here before Thanksgiving about eating, you know, you may get full with all these other appetizers. You could do the same thing with Christmas. You know, people will overeat appetizers. Mm-hmm. But there are other things that you can make for appetizers that won't fill you up. I mean, a lot of times for Thanksgiving and Christmas, you don't tend to see, like, a lot of salads. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can do some light appetizers as well.
Yeah, I have it's a very beautiful and very Christmassy salad with pomegranate seeds and green apples in it, candied pecans and a pomegranate dressing. It makes a wonderful, and it really looks Christmassy with those little jewel pomegranate seeds. That's a nice salad idea. I also, as a first course, make a salad with mixed greens, and I use the Satsuma oranges. They're like little mandarins that are out right now. They're just out at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And use the segments, and then sear a couple of scallops and put it on top, and make a dressing with a little shallot, Dijon, white wine vinegar, and olive oil. And it's a wonderful first course, really. Mm. And it's quick, it's easy, and people aren't even going to believe it's like very elegant. You know,
nice. So. I was talking to someone the other day about different recipes and stuff. A lot of times, some of these people will make different sauces. Mm-hmm. You know, who's making a honey mustard sauce? Mm. Somebody's making what was it? The sauce that my wife had on her curly fries last night, the waffle fries. They call them Baconays. Mm. It's made with the whatever it was made. It was very good.
It was horribly wonderful.
Anything with bacon, right? It's kind of like a bacon mayonnaise mix, and it was really good on the waffle fries. Mm-hmm. It was actually a Chipotle flavored.
Oh,
now you're talking.
Yes, the waffle fries were Chipotle tasted, but you didn't taste the peppery or anything, because when you had the Baconays on it, I like that name, Baconays. But you had that, and you didn't taste it. You just tasted the light, creamy bacon, basically.
Right.
Well, that's a good point, Dominic. Dips are great, by the way. Dips are so easy to make, especially if you have a food processor.
Oh,
you just throw stuff in the food processor and you make a dip. And if you do like four of those and then put out a crudité platter with chips, people can just graze on that, and it's not heavy. You know, it can be light, and that's a really easy thing to do for a lot of people.
Yes.
If people are coming over for a party, and you can make a lot of really interesting different. We have a ginger joy dip recipe on our website.
That's on the website as well.
Again, very easy to make, and people love it. Mm-hmm. So those are things, and they're easy
to
dress up.
<See? laughs> Delicious.
They're easy to dress up in a bowl, you know. So those are really good at party ideas for things that don't take you forever to make and can stay out. Right, and people will just kind of graze on them over time.
I like that word. You can just graze on it. It's like just stay there. This is mine. You're not touching this. You know.
Right. And a nice, you know, a nice antipasto platter.
Yeah.
But keep, you know, don't put too much cheese on it. But the, you know, olives and a little bit of, you know, prosciutto and the marinated mushrooms and marinated artichoke hearts. Mm. It is lighter. You know, it doesn't keep you from enjoying your meal afterwards if you're, you know.
You know, at all the times for especially for Thanksgiving dinners, in the past when we used to go up to my aunt and uncle's house up in Worcester, and in fact, my wife made it a few years ago when we visit our grandkids down in Texas. with the antipasto, the Italian antipasto that Carol made. She put the Italian tuna in it as well.
Oh, yes.
And
that's
I love nice. That, yeah. especially on Very there. Nice. You know, and that's a nice little light thing right. as you can put on there. And, you know, and you could just put as much like you can put on the salads. I love the craisins, you know, right. the feta yes. cheese. You can, you
little
can,
goat cheese. Yeah, maybe goat cheese.
Doesn't Absolutely. Really matter what you use on there. Uh-huh. Was it the other day? Yeah, was it Sunday? Saturday, I think it was. I was somebody emailed me and wanted to know if they listened to this segment. They loved My Chef Laura's website and all that. But this gentleman who emailed me and said, I'm just trying to remember how he said it. Oh, okay. He and his wife are going to do something very special for Christmas, and they want to do. Are there any Christmas recipes for? How did he say it? God, now I can't think of it. The stuff that we talked about the last few months ago. It was vegetarian meals.
Oh, sure.
The, vegan?
No, the that other effect.
Vegetarian.
God, and I can't think of the name now. I should have gone back to the website where I saw it.
I have no idea.
It'll come to me. It'll come
okay.
to me.
All right. Okay.
But vegetarian meals. Mm-hmm. Not the rice type. We talked about the name that I couldn't pronounce the last time. It's the, you know, the little,
the arancini bowls?
No. I gotta go back to my website.
You want a little more Bailey's there?
Yeah. But more vegetarian things. Yeah. This guy was saying, you know, he's going to do something different, for his family. He wants to do more of a veggie, mm-hmm. vegetarian things. Are there good recipes out there for that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there are lots and lots of really wonderful recipes for vegetarians. In fact, I recently made something that I thought would be very nice, really healthy, but really nice for a holiday meal. They were stuffed portobello mushroom caps, mm-hmm. and the stuffing actually had quinoa, which it sounds like...
That's the word.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. I was just looking at the thing. Quinoa was exactly what I was looking for. Yes.
It had quinoa and spinach and then you top it. Well, I'm trying to remember all the ingredients. It had onions and garlic and red peppers, and you saute that and you add cooked quinoa to it. Mm-hmm. And then you put that, you use it to stuff the mushroom cap, and then put a dollop of ricotta cheese cool. in it, and then... put some cheese over mm-hmm. it and bake it like that, and it's really it was wonderful. And I think that's a Nicole recipe, as a mm-hmm. matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one idea. Yeah. Stuffed mushroom caps are really nice there because they have a certain meatiness to them. You know, they're hearty, and they have the, you know, mushrooms have a lot of umami. They make you feel really, you know, they have that really savory.
Yeah. And mushrooms can fake a meat texture, certain ones, portobellos specifically. And so if you want to do vegetarian for non-vegetarians,
yes, that's
mushrooms
always,
are really the way to go, the thick mushrooms, because it has that feeling of
yeah, unless you, you know, somebody, you know, who may not like mushrooms or they're allergic to them, but I love mushrooms anyway, but especially stuffed mushrooms. Uh-huh. And then you get the big portobello ones.
And then they look nice. Like as a presentation, it is a very they look presentation. Fabulous, you know, and they don't wither down like a lot of mushrooms. Yes. They have a lot of heft to them, so you can serve them and make them pretty.
Yeah. And it looks like a main dish.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you're used to seeing, you know, which most meat eaters, you think of the piece of meat there mm-hmm. and then the things around it, then that makes it really nice. The portobello mushroom stuffed portobello mushrooms mm-hmm. make that. They kind of give that feeling like you have that main dish and then other things. But there are a lot of other things you can do. In fact, I, for years I've been making quote-unquote meatballs with walnuts mm-hmm. and cover them with a bechamel sauce, and they're absolutely delicious. Mm. You don't need to put meat in
You don't even notice that they don't have meat.
Wow.
Yeah, no. In fact, I one time when I was still working at Boston College, and I served them for Lent, and I was reminded that they don't eat meat for Lent. And I said, no, I know. And they don't have any meat in them. They're just with nuts. So there are a lot of things that you can do. The sky's the limit. Yeah. That's the thing. If you think about it, where are your limits with vegetarian cooking? Like how many vegetables, how many grains, how many, you know, wonderful things there are in the world, beans and nuts and, mm-hmm. you know.
As long as you get cheese, I'm good.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what kind.
Laura and I are never going to make good vegans. Let's put it that way. No, we love cheese too much. Yeah.
We're all meat eaters. Yeah. I know. It is. And then, of course, you know, when you get into Christmas Eve, I know being Italian, I haven't had this in a while, but a lot of times you have the seven fish dinner. And that's something that, you know, people will go all out on this. My uncle used to do them, you know, all the time. He used to come to our house, and then we used to go to his house when he was living in Lexington. He's retired now in Florida, but and we kind of miss all that, you know, the old, you know, stuff. I mean, when my mom was alive, a couple of years before she passed, we had he came down from Lexington and made the seven fish dinner. You know, the baked stuff, shrimp, the pasta with the lobster meat and the crab meat and this and that. I mean, my wife and I did it a few years ago for Christmas Eve by ourselves, and like, you know, and we started off, you know, we said like, oh, let's do it on a smaller scale. So we started off with the shrimp cocktail. We had this and that. The other thing that my wife does a tremendous job with, and I know she's always listening to the show as well, as you know, she makes a dynamic spinach ball recipe as well.
You know, that sounds
good. Puts them in the oven, you know, like 15, 20 minutes, and puts, you know, the breadcrumbs and this and that. And I think she's making them for Christmas Eve for a house party we're going to. But usually those things are done fast. I mean, those are things, you know, in and out, out of the oven.
We're happy to taste test those for you, Carol.
Yeah, anytime.
Yes, I know.
At any time.
I know. Carol, you're listening to it. They'd like some as well.
That's right.
We know where they live. We know where the office is. But yes, it's an outstanding, and she actually does really, really good mushroom caps as well. Yeah, so we're going to have to, Carol, two orders to go, please, Carol.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. So two orders to go for MyChefLara.
That's right.
.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we've got some more holiday things to talk about with Chef Deb and Lara coming your way in just a couple of moments. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Britney Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition.
And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond. I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The 60-piece Ocean State Summer Pops Orchestra, along with talented vocalists, will perform your favorite traditional and international holiday songs on Friday, December the 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Stadium Theater located at 28 Monument Square in Woonsocket. The orchestra is proud to include among its ranks for this spectacular holiday event members of the Rhode Island Philharmonic and Philharmonic Community Orchestras, as well as many other notable area groups. For more information, visit the web at www.osspo.org or call 401-762-4545. Happy holidays to you and yours. The Attleboro Health Department is offering flu vaccine clinics for children ages 2 through 18, as well as uninsured adults 19 and older on the consecutive Tuesdays of December 15th and the 22nd from 4 till 5:30 at Attleboro City Hall, located on Park Street on the second floor level. Parents are asked to bring all health insurance cards. However, no child will be turned away if uninsured. If you have any questions, please contact Jackie O'Brien at 508-223-2222. 222, extension 3244.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Pawtucket Winter Farmers Market will take place on Saturdays from 9 till 1 p.m., starting November 7th, right straight through May 14th, 2016, at Hope Artist Village, located on Hope Street in Pawtucket. Come light, snow, or shine, the Wintertime Farmers Market will be open. For more information, visit the web at hopeartistvillage.com or simply call 401-312-3850.
All right, we are back talking food again, as always. We're talking with Chef Deb and Chef Lara from My Chef Lara. Talking about different things, as we going back to some of these other things that we were just talking about off the air about Italian Christmases, the seven fish dinner. But you can really pig out at Italian meals or any other meal. But you got the seven fish dinner from a lot of times for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I know a lot of people will have pasta soups, and I know one person in my family used to do chicken and veal parm for dinner for Christmas Day. And they made so much of it for the next couple of days after Christmas.
It was still didn't have to cook.
Yeah, it was still in the refrigerator. After that, the day after Christmas, it was no longer in the refrigerator. It was gone. It was all bye-bye. It was all gone. Going back also in desserts. Desserts... we all have sweet tooths. We have sweet tooths. You were saying something about making things in cookie jars as well.
Those are great gifts too, because people love sweets. I'm more of a salt person, but sweets are
like my wife.
But you know, it's really cute to just get again a jar, some kind of jar, and then just fill it with. You can put in a cookie cutter with ingredients to make a cookie. You can put in toppings. You can. There's just a lot of cute ideas that you can do to make cookies, especially for people with kids or big kids, like my husband would love that.
Deb's husband Mike will love that, right?
Exactly. You can portion out all the ingredients, put it in a jar. You know, put a ribbon on it, and you're and that makes
you're
a wonderful, wonderful gift. Yeah,
and make sure you include the recipe.
Recipes. Include the recipe. That's true.
And with the spice mixes too. Sometimes, if you include a recipe that uses that spice blend, then it gives the people a little bit of a head start to kind of begin to incorporate it a little bit and see where they can go with it.
Or popcorn. People don't think about popcorn, right? So you can make spice mixes for popcorn. Recently, unfortunately, I discovered a buffalo popcorn, which is really just butter with hot sauce, and you pour that over the popcorn. But, you know, give someone a jar with some popcorn and some spice blends. You can do, Deb mentioned Za'atar would make a fabulous, it's a spice mix. It's a garam masala would be fabulous on top of a popcorn.
I love these different names that are out there now.
So the Herbe de Provence is wonderful on popcorn. That I put that on popcorn sometimes.
You know, so there's definitely things that don't even have to be fattening. I know, crazy.
I know, crazy, isn't it?
So those are definitely things you can do in the kitchen that make fabulous gifts for people, and they're a little bit different.
Right.
They, you know, they're your spin on something, and if you don't give somebody something they're never going to use, give them something they'll eat, right, and not have to dust later on.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of giving things for gifts, a gift certificate from anywhere makes a great present anytime. But you guys are also doing gift certificates as well.
We are.
We sure are.
We are. It's one of our more popular times, of course, to have gift certificates, and people are very creative. Mm-hmm. We had someone call last night, and he wants to give a gift certificate to his wife for a romantic dinner at some point, and gift certificates for meal replacements.
Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, if you think about relatives of yours who are very busy, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift to give people. Then they have food in their freezer and refrigerator. They don't have to cook. It's a great gift. Parties, you can give a gift certificate for a party. We recently fulfilled a gift certificate for someone who, it was a birthday party for her, and someone had given her the party. And it's we have all sorts of different packages. So you can look, it's like a menu of gift certificates. So you can look in our online, is it on the news on the website, or it's a link to our newsletter?
It's on the website, and the link is there, and it runs you through the different kinds. And really, it's the truth is anything you want, right? We're all about the customer and whatever. If you call and say, I want an alligator party for, I don't know, whatever it is that cooking classes, we can do gift certificates for cooking classes. We've done many of those. So really, that makes a fabulous gift because people love that. It's unique and it's different, and people get super excited about it's food, right? Yeah. I mean, what could be bad about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a gift certificate doesn't go bad. So
cooking classes are great for teenagers, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got that from 4 to 8 people as well, right?
But we could do, you know, if they wanted to have their friends, they're all going off to college, and they want to learn how to do a few things, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a great gift.
A college cooking class.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can certainly.
That's a good idea.
You know, or a class for, you know, if your teenage boy wants to learn how to impress the girls, we can teach him how to make some easy date night meals.
Absolutely.
Oh, and speaking of cooking classes, in January, we have a class coming up at Stock on Hope Street in Providence. Stock at Stock. We will be teaching you how to make stock. All different kinds of stock. And then you actually get to you get to take it home with you, some stock home with you from the class.
Hmm.
So that's also on our website at mycheflaura.com. If you scroll to the bottom, there's a link for signing up for the class at Stock.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, it's a great little thing here. Mycheflaura.com is the place to go. And as I said, I actually printed off all of the gift certificates as well. It's got everything in there. We'll go into it a little bit later. But right now, we're going to go back out to Jim Corbin, who has another update on the forecast. Jim.
Well, good, tasty discussion. I'm enjoying it, Dom, and also very tasty weather for the temperatures. Boy, I'll tell you, if you don't like cold and snow, this has been one of the best Decembers ever so far, anyway. And it looks like it's going to continue with just some minor intrusions of chill. But still, I don't see any snow of any consequence through the end of the year. Of course, we're only 2 weeks away from that. So for today, sun and clouds, high temperatures climbing to the upper 40s, which is still above average. Tonight, we'll fall to the upper 30s, and then it looks like rain moving in tomorrow. Now, we may start out with just a little bit of mist in the morning, and then rain in the afternoon through the evening. A good half inch is quite possible if we're lucky to fill up the reservoirs. Obviously, we're not watering lawns these days or flowers, but we need the reservoirs to fill up for the spring and summer. Then it looks like sun clouds on Friday, highs in the low 50s, colder in the afternoon, and then the coldest day so far this season, that looks like on Saturday, may not get out of the upper 30s, and it'll be windy, so it'll feel colder. And then somewhat less wind on Sunday with highs of around 40.
All right. So, any thoughts on food for you on here on Food for Thought?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. You know, I've always had the question of the color of foods. Is it me, or is there somewhat of a negative overall foods of like anything that's green. Does that get somewhat of a negative for some people?
I don't think I've ever run into anybody except somebody who doesn't like vegetables, not liking green.
No, I mean, I love vegetables. And again, obviously, a lot of the vegetables are green, but, you know, like green apples versus a red apple or, I don't know, a guacamole, you know. I don't know. I've heard people occasionally say that the color of certain foods turns them off. Is that possible?
Well, I think that's a very personal thing to people. You know, green apples are tartar than red apples. They tend to be more sour. So maybe if somebody associates that with the sourness in an apple. And guacamole, there are just some people who don't like avocados, I guess. But
well,
no, I'm not one of them.
It's a good point, though. You know, we always say you eat with your eyes first. So making things pretty, it is like we often when we're cooking, we're like, oh, this just needs some green and or red or whatever. Color is actually very appealing to people most of the time. So you want your food to be colorful. Or if you're creating a plate, you know, decorating it with some parsley sprigs or something. Actually, people find that more appealing.
If you just have gray mush. Has a lot of like different colors. In other words, if you put out something that was all different foods had almost the same color, it would look kind of bland. Whereas if it's like three or four or five different colored foods, makes it more, I don't know, just good looking.
Appetizing.
It's actually not only appetizing; it's more nutritious. Different colors come from different compounds within the food that contain nutrients that we need in our bodies. And so, the more colorful your meals, the more wide variety of nutrients you're going to be eating with the meal. So it's actually
like
a good idea
like
to have
carrots
colors.
And like what's the other one? Squash, which has a lot of times yellow, orange. Mm-hmm. Is that a different? Is that because it has a different component to it? The color of squash and carrots, for example.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's beta carotene, and it's really good for you. You need it. So.
And even how about white? Like white potatoes versus does white have a certain characteristic? White foods.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, interesting conversation as always. And again, Tom, I'll talk to you in the morning, and thanks very much.
All right, sounds good, Jim. We'll talk to you then.
Okay.
All right, that is actually a good point because what I like in different foods as well is peppers, you know, red peppers. I know you've got the marinated peppers, you know, in the stores, the Mancini peppers and all those. And I love those. And then, you know, you put that, I'll put, you know, that, the sun-dried tomatoes when I'm making pasta, I will put that from the jar or whatever. After it's in the in my plate, I'll sprinkle some sun-dried tomatoes in there, and it's a nice little taste to it as well. But yeah, color, it does make a portion. Like you said, the color is very important. People do eat with their eyes. You know, if they're looking, especially with pizza. Everything's pizza. Everybody is either getting the sauce on it, or they're getting without the sauce. You know, the Neapolitan pizza, or sometimes you're doing, you know, nothing, no sauce, it's just white pizza with other things on it. I know, like I said, I love, you know, the sweet peppers and different peppers, you know. And I'll make a salad at home. When I make a salad, I have, Carol will buy, you know, the small little colored peppers in the bag, and I'll cut those out, and cut those up, and I'll put those, you know, with the cucumber, the tomato, and we'll have it's a more colorful appetizer.
Those little tiny peppers you were talking about, appetizers that are not so filling. Those little tiny peppers, if you cut them in half and you put a little dip in them, that's actually a nice little appetizer. Mm-hmm. They're easy to make, and they're they're a little lighter than some of the other ones.
And those peppers are particularly sweet.
They are. Yeah. They're very sweet.
They're
delicious.
Yes. You go back to some of those gift certificates that you had. You would say also there's one called the Big Thank You. And basically the Big Thank You is something for anybody. You could give it to anybody.
Absolutely.
And it's not very expensive at all.
No, not at all. You can thank Norbert for the names.
He's
our name generator. Yes. absolutely. It makes the gift certificates are really a way to uniquely thank someone, to give them a gift, to say I'm thinking about you. It's really a lot about caring. food has that warm happiness about it. And especially for people that are hard to buy for, right? Because if you don't know what their tastes are, that's or maybe they have complex needs, it makes a great gift because then they get what they want, right? And it's not just an Amazon gift certificate. Not that there's anything wrong with Amazon gift certificates. No. This is just a little bit different.
My Chef Laura, My Chef Laura gift certificates are a little bit better.
I would say so.
And we go through the same process with people who receive the gift certificate as we do with our, with the clients who call us. You know, we go through the process of finding out exactly what the person wants and needs. It isn't a gift certificate, and then you have to get a particular package. You know, of you know, you have to get this, choose from this dish, and this dish. It's the same thing with our rest of our service. It's completely personalized. We work with the person who received the gift certificate to make sure that they get exactly what they want.
Right.
So
the other one that I kind of like the name of it is the Christmas Raffle. This is something that is good actually for people in certain types of businesses. Like in here it says business leaders, human resources people out there. When you have no idea what to give that person who may have, you know, you think at the last minute, like, what are we going to give this person, you know? So any of these gift certificates would be perfect for anybody, you know, at work or whatever.
Absolutely. Especially if you don't know them well.
Yeah.
Either you know them very well and you love them and want to give them food and comfort, or you don't know them well at all and you want to give them a choice.
Right. And you know they eat, so.
We hope they eat.
Everyone eats, so it's a pretty good bet that a My Chef Laura gift certificate will fit the bill no matter who it is.
The other stuff, you know, you go through all of this food preparation, and then also, you don't eat a lot of it. But there's also a time to, you know, figure out how to freeze it correctly, you know, because you don't want it to spoil. And you know, you don't want to leave, as you said earlier, you don't want to leave so much of it in the fridge. But with your items that you, you know, that I have seen, you can put it very neatly in the fridge and it will stay, you know, whatever, the food, soups, whatever it is.
The
sauces.
Trick to freezing, people should remember, because there will probably be a lot of that going on, is that, is you need to get the air out.
Yeah.
So, so the important thing, the danger to freezing food is air. If you have air in there, what will happen is it will freezer burn,
right?
The food will freezer burn. And there's, you don't have to have, obviously, one of those air sucking machines.
Yeah, the vacuum seal.
The vacuum seals.
Have to have
those are great. Those work fabulously. But you don't have to have that. Just take a piece of aluminum foil and press it down on the food if it's in a container, even if it's in a Tupperware container. I recommend doing this. Press it down all the way to the top of the food and then cover it. With some kind of sealing, whether it's the Tupperware lid or the a freezer-tight wrap, plastic wrap, or anything like that. Just get as much air out of it that you can, and that will protect the food against getting freezer burned.
Yeah, one mistake that people make is they'll put, like, say you have extra chicken like that's not cooked, and you put it in a freezer Ziploc bag. And then put it in the refrigerator, in the freezer, then that is definitely going to get freezer burn if you leave it in there for any length of time, because there's so much air that's in the bag with it. So the better thing to do at that point would be to wrap it and then put it in the bag. You know, for meats and things like that, the packaging from the grocery store, it's not airtight. You will get freezer burn, most likely. So the best thing to do is to take it out, make sure you, you package it well. And we use, for our clients, we use FreezeTight. So it's a product that's, it's like plastic wrap, but it's especially designed for in the freezer. And you can get that at Benny's or Ocean State Job Lot. So.
Yeah, you know, when we were at the party that you threw with the soup night a few weeks ago, that soup kept for a while. I mean, like, you know, we because we had finished it not too far after that, because it didn't stay in the house very long. But and then even the one that you had sent us last month here, I mean, that went like in half a day. But yeah, and it's amazing, you know, and soups is another thing, you know, soups, if you keep them in the fridge for after a week or so, if you do, you're not going to, not going to keep the nutrients in it. You know, you got to eat that.
After a while. Yeah. It lasts a good, a few months in the freezer. The freezer is a great tool.
The freezer is a great way. The freezer, it doesn't, You know, you can freeze something forever as long as you maintain the temperature.
Yeah.
But it will start, you know, the quality of the food starts to degrade after a few months.
Yeah, you'll get, you don't want to have something down the line that's going to have the taste of the freezer burn or another,
no.
or something like, and I've seen this, you know, in different freezers. All of a sudden, this happened a few months ago at our house, and I really have no idea how it happened. All of a sudden, you open it up and it was all frost. It was, you know, the, there was like, you know, the frost would come out. Then, then you know, whatever you did, whatever it is, you know, whatever it was, you opened it up a while back and there was, it was fine. So it just happened. Maybe there was some air in there, whatever it was. But now that's, that seems to be okay. But, and that, that you'll taste it. You will taste that freezer burn, you know, and it's like,
absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, it dries out. It dries out the food too.
Yeah.
So it's a, it changes the texture of it as well. So it's important to wrap it well. But we're talking about the freezer. We were saying things you can do ahead. Another really good do ahead thing that you can freeze for your Christmas morning, you know, breakfast or the day after Christmas is strata. Strata is like a bread pudding.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it's but it's savory. So strata, even unbaked, freezes really well. I've done that before. Is make it ahead, you know, this weekend. Make it now. Wrap it up really good and put it in your freezer, and then you can pull it out the night before and bake it on Christmas morning or the day after.
Yeah,
so
I think
that's a nice one.
I think in the, we were watching the movie The Family Stone the other day with Sarah Jessica Parker, and she made it. And unfortunately, it fell all over the floor. Somebody bounced her off the wall or something like that, you know. And she made it, and it was like, what is that? It's my strata. So, yeah, that's something. Now, as you said, going into Christmas morning, there's another thing that a lot of people will do is they'll have, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll wait for their Christmas meal. But Christmas morning, you know, everybody's going to come down for bacon and eggs and everything. And then about 3 or 4 hours later, like, oh, my God, I'm full. So, it's you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you have the appetizers, you know, you don't fill up on them.
Yeah.
The breakfast kind of the thing. I think what the best thing to do is probably just, you know, have your, you know, if you're having a cup of coffee or you know, something like that.
Well, you got to pace yourself. It depends. You know, we won't be having Christmas dinner till 4.
Yeah.
So I don't intend on just having a cup of coffee for breakfast on Christmas morning. Actually, what I'm planning on doing is something that I do often. I use my slow cooker and cook steel-cut oats. So the Irish oats overnight. I put those in before I go to bed on Christmas Eve. I don't. They won't be ready in time for Santa. But before I go to bed, I'll put the oats in the crock pot, and then I'll put some water in. And when I get up in the morning, I make a little compote with apples and raisins and a little nutmeg and cinnamon on the stove and serve it on the on the oats that have cooked overnight. So it's little work in the morning.
Slow cooker oatmeal is fabulous for the winter.
Yeah,
it's,
it really
it's a
is.
Wonderful thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you never, like you said earlier, Laura, that the slow cookers, these slow cookers are perfect for any type of meal. But but kind of a make a mess if you're having turkey, you know, putting a turkey in it.
I've made turkey in the slow cooker. Yep, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It makes a fabulous gravy because it sits there and it cooks really slowly. Not a whole turkey, but like those big turkey breasts, you know, those 5 pound turkey breasts. Fabulous. They're great. They come out wonderful. And if I want crispy skin or something, I just stick it in the oven, you know, 10 minutes or 20 minutes just to crisp up the skin ahead of time. But the flavor is I do that even on non-Thanksgiving days.
Right,
my husband loves turkey, so I make turkey all the time in the slow cooker.
As we kind of wrapping things up, first of all, we hope you guys have a great Christmas. Happy New Year as well.
Thank you. You too.
What's the plans for you guys, for the people from in your families out there for Christmas?
Well, we celebrate Christmas Eve. So I come from a German family. So we celebrate on Christmas Eve. And so we have a big dinner and everyone goes to my brother's house and we do gifts and dinner and just hang out, and we'll be 21 people this year, so it's quite a crowd. And my husband's Italian, so before I met him, Christmas Day was pajama day. It is no longer pajama day. So we'll be heading to his family in Attleboro here, as a matter of fact, for Christmas Day. So.
Nice.
Yeah. And then pajama day will be the day
that'll
after.
That'll be the day after. And Deb?
And Michael and I are going to have a nice, quiet Christmas Eve, and then a big family dinner at his mother's house in New Bedford on Christmas Day. And
she's
we're
a sweetheart, isn't she?
Yes, she is. So we're going to have Christmas dinner there. I think we're going to be 14 this year.
Wow.
And we're having ham and my mom's recipe for Vermont baked beans, which have maple syrup in them as a sweetener. and lots of other good things. And I think my sister-in-law is going to make a trifle for dessert.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, being Deb, you know, she's got to have a little spice in one of your recipes, or more than one. Probably have some spice in there, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting because my mother-in-law is English. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to, when I'm cooking for the family as a whole, I tend to kind of tone that side of my personality down a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, your mother-in-law, does she like the spice? No, I've met her before.
Oh, she doesn't like spicy food.
I was going to say,
she's very English that way. Yeah. No, she does not like spicy food.
No fish and chips and bangers and mash on Christmas morning.
No, but she does love fish and chips. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's one of her favorite things, actually. So.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you coming back again.
Thank you, Dominic.
Our best to all of the people that are working at My Chef Lara.
Thank you, and you as well.
And
happy holidays,
and Carol.
And
yes.
Carol.
Well, thank you once again, and we'll hopefully see you in January.
Yep.
Okay.
And happy New
Year.
We'll
be here.
Happy New Year.
All right. Paul is up next, and he'll be joining us. I have no idea what he's going to be talking about. Sometimes he doesn't even know what he's going to be talking about until 10:05. Until then, have yourself a great day. We will catch you back tomorrow, bright and early at 6.